KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
On the phone are Delia Benz-King, back from her surf camp in Nicaragua, and Chris, who has a really exciting and innovative product, Avasol Sunscreens. Hi, guys.
Hey, Amy.
Howdy.
How's it going? Hey, Chris.
It's going great. Thank you both for taking the time to talk to us today.
My pleasure.
Yeah, it's good to be back on the show and really excited for today's show with Chris. I'm so excited to introduce him and his product, Avasol.
You know, you emailed me about it, and I took a quick look at the website. And what I was saying to Chris off the air is I hated having to choose between doing what's right for the ocean and what's right for my health. And now I don't have to.
No, you can do both at the same time. You know, even in Humboldt County, like, I just came from a very sunny place, obviously, but even in Humboldt, we need to protect ourselves from the sun under that fog. It's still there. And we also want to protect the ocean at the same time. So, yeah, I heard about Avasol and Chris, and he's an awesome person. And I'll let him introduce himself and his product a little bit.
Yes. Hi. Thanks, Delia. Where to start?
How about starting with what is wrong with traditional sunscreens with regard to the ocean?
That's a good question. Where to start, because there's so much wrong with it, both for human health and the ocean. Both are really critical. You mentioned having to make a decision about what's good for the ocean, but it's all connected, and it all flows to the ocean anyway. What you take, you take a shower, it goes through the sewer into the ocean. So sunscreen really is a bit of a lightning rod, and it's got so many issues that it was a great starting point, and I just started from the need. I couldn't find something that worked for me or my family, and so I just decided to solve the problem myself, and it happened to work out.
Cool.
So what are the some of the ingredients in sunscreen brands that might not be super friendly for the ocean? What are some of those common ingredients?
Well, there's a really simple way to look at it now, because there's so much marketing and so much hype and actually so little regulation that it can be boiled down to, if your sunscreen goes on clear, it's probably not safe for you or the environment. Typically, sunscreens get broken, into two categories. One is the chemical UV absorber, and that's the typical, I don't want to, badmouth any brands, but it's the typical thing you get at the supermarket. We've used it for years. Oxybenzone is one of the chemicals in the news that's, shown to one drop in a trillion gallons, or one in a trillion ratio, is enough to kill the ocean reef. That's not new.
Wow.
We've known that for a decade.
That is such a tiny amount to do so much damage. And I know that there's science coming out. We have problems with some of the major reef systems in the world, like the Great Barrier Reef, and they're showing a correlation with sunscreen to some of it.
Absolutely. It's all connected. But the thing that I think is frightening and upsetting is that's not new information. 10 years ago, I believe it was 2008, studies came out, and people said, oh, well, we need to study it more. Well, we knew that it was not good for humans. We knew that it was a hormone disruptor, and the evidence was there, and we waited almost a decade. And so now we've got people coming out talking about reef-safe products, and it's a confusing mess for people. So we're trying to create solutions in a way for people to make good decisions, not just sell a product, but we've got an opportunity to educate people about how to make good decisions, not just about sunscreen, but about other products that have similar, murky ingredients that affect our health, our family's health, and end up in the ocean.
I really like how you actually have a section on your website for raw materials, and you show a picture or a botanical drawing of everything that's in it.
Yeah, well, everything has a story behind it, and generally there's a reason for it. The important thing is, the synergy of it. No one ingredient makes the whole thing, but the concept is that we want to do as little harm as possible.
And so let's talk about what is in your product, or just a few of the main ingredients. And you mentioned like chemical versus mineral or organic sunscreen.
Yeah.
Avoiding the chemicals, what makes your sunscreen work?
Yeah. So back on that concept, and this is really sort of the thumbnail sketch, how to make a good decision. If it goes on clear, it's either going to be the UV absorber, like avobenzone, oxybenzone, that we know are bad. So if you want to be healthy, avoid anything like that. That's a safe bet. We could go into the science and debate it, but it's really a safe bet to avoid the UV absorbers if you want a healthy ocean and a healthy family. The other option is good old zinc. And so you can imagine a lifeguard with a white nose. Zinc's been used for, I believe it's got 300-year-old use as a medicine with no ill effects. So it, as you can imagine, reflects the sun. And so zinc oxide is considered the best active ingredient for a sunscreen, with titanium dioxide being second, right? You can talk about the UV spectrum and all these things. Zinc oxide is hands down the best. Now, this is where things get a little bit complicated, though, because now people are marketing sunscreens claiming to be reef safe, and you turn over the label, you say, hey, it's got zinc, this must be good. Well, there's now clear zincs that are made with nanoparticles. And this was done so that you didn't have to see the bright white, the old lifeguard nose type of zinc. People don't want to look like a ghost for a variety of reasons. So this was the reaction. And like most things, we as humans get ahead of ourselves. They're, you know, got excited, hey, we can make nanoparticles, and it goes on clear. UC Davis, I believe it was about a year ago, just released a study showing that titanium dioxide and nanoparticles of zinc oxide were basically toxic to the base of the food chain in the ocean. And they were showing zooplankton that could no longer defend themselves from the toxins. So for me, this is terrifying that you've got nanoparticles out there that aren't retrievable, that look to be basic toxins to the food chain in the ocean. That scares me. You know, the reefs are critical, but if you poison the whole ocean, we're really in trouble. So this is a scandal right now, and the Australians have already dealt with it, where companies were claiming to be non-nano, because that sounds great. So anyway, it's a complicated issue, but that's a big concern now, that companies without regulation are calling it non-nano when it actually is all nano.
Yikes. So I noticed on your website, you have a blog, and you have extensive articles on nano sunscreens, the protective role of zinc, and sunscreen rules, and all kinds of important information. So anybody who wants to read even more about it, you can go to avasol.com, AVASOL.com, and then click on the blog, and there's a ton of articles there.
Yeah,
hopefully we've got some new and up-to-date things soon.
Let's talk about your packaging a little bit, too, because I like how your product goes beyond even the ingredients that you're putting on yourself. The packaging is also environmentally friendly.
Which I think is really exciting.
Yeah. You're using this as kind of a platform to reach a broader message.
Absolutely. And it was one of those moments where, as I got dragged into making it as a business, if you're going to make the best sunscreen you possibly can with the most expensive exotic ingredients you can, are you going to put it in a plastic bottle? No. And so that was a whole journey in and of itself. But, it was important to do something that at least minimized the harm. I don't know if we're perfect, but we've eliminated plastic from the stick, and we created the best solution we could for the cream. That's a bigger challenge, and we're working on some improvements to that, but the cream is a refillable concept where there's an aluminum bottle with a locking pump that you can refill with what we call travel refill pouches that you can use on their own or to refill the bottle. And we're continually evolving it. But the stick has really become a trademark and a teaching point and a learning tool to show that, you know, we can do without plastic without really having to compromise very much. And to have this product that people seem to like and seems to work pretty well, and know that you could drop it on the beach and it would return to the environment, that's a pretty cool thing. And it's not an easy thing to make. It's expensive to do. It cuts into your profits, but it's the right thing to do. And when you find your own product on the beach as litter, and you know that it's not a plastic bottle there, it feels good and it makes it worth the effort.
Definitely. Do you feel like you've really reached a larger audience and taught people about ocean protection in ways that you might not have been able to otherwise through this product?
I'm sorry, our connection is not that great. I missed a big part of what you just said. Could you repeat that?
Oh, sure. I was just wondering if you feel like you have educated and reached a broader audience through the creation of this product.
Sorry, you've cut out.
Delia is asking if you feel like you have, with the creation of this product, reached more people about ocean education and other issues.
Oh, absolutely. We're now, there are a few reaches of the world that we haven't got a little foothold in, and we give away a lot of product, and we've got ambassadors everywhere. And, for instance, we've got little samples and cardboard that Delia used at an event to be able to show people the product and the packaging, and people really resonate with it. And we're just getting started with it. So the opportunity to teach and share about the bigger picture is just a huge opportunity. And it's really, it's frankly, for me, it's a bigger issue than trying to make money selling the product. The product is selling phenomenally, but really finding these opportunities to work with, you know, we've got probably half a dozen different nonprofits centered around ocean conservation, especially, you know, all over the world that we're working with. And it's just phenomenally rewarding to see the results of that and to watch it grow.
So I noticed when I look at your products that they come in different colors. There's light, tan, and dark. Is that because they go on opaque?
Absolutely. And this is one of the things that really differentiates us. As I, you know, began formulating and learning the process, quickly discarded the transparent zinc because I asked questions. And so that leaves you with, well, what do you do with this bright white mineral? And so the answer was, you know, we want it to be a little bit skin tone. We don't want to look like a clown. So iron oxides and similar, you know, mineral makeup type of ingredients worked really well. And that's a big differentiator. You can tell a truly non-nano product because it is opaque and it doesn't blend in clear. You know, you want it to blend in, and you can either make it really caked on and visible when you're going surfing and you need the protection, or you can blend it in. People find a lot of different ways to use our product, from a daily makeup to Arctic exploration. It's cool.
I think that's a really cool idea, is to blend it with things like mineral makeup to give it that nicer color option.
Well, and it's taking it back to basics. You know, we can use technology just so far, and then we can go back to look at what our ancestors did before they went hunting. You know, we may be going hunting for waves, but it's the same type of thing, and it's more of a natural process than expecting we can put chemicals on that are clear, and they're going to be magic, and they're going to stay out of our bloodstream and stay out of the ecosystem, and no free lunch. So this was a bit of a compromise, but it's worked out.
Cool. And where are you based?
For sure.
I know that everything on here says everything's made in the U.S. Where are you based?
Yeah, we're in Santa Barbara, California.
A ways down the coast, but we share the same edge of the same ocean.
Coast.
Pretty cool.
Slightly warmer water, as I recall, down here.
Yeah, by several
just
degrees,
a little
yeah.
bit. No, but it was, yeah, we, like Chris said, we used this at a local, at a festival here in Humboldt, and everyone just loved it. It was really well received and great teaching method. And then on my travels, I saw it in Nicaragua, and I was like, awesome. Everyone was loving it down there. So really cool to see it being distributed, and thank you so much for your hard work. It's awesome that we have this option out there, and yeah, it's just a great thing for people to learn a little bit more about the ocean and protect themselves at the same time.
Awesome. Thank you.
And speaking of the ocean, tomorrow is Ocean Night at the Arcata
yes.
Theater and Lounge.
It is. It is. And I will be there, and everyone should come. Ocean Night, we're going to have a really great night. Our first film is The Weekend Sailor. It's about a worldwide sailing regatta race, and the next film is called Dulce, and it's about pavones, a wave in Costa Rica, and just people's lifestyle down there and how things are changing a little bit with some more development happening. So that'll be our surf film. Both films look really awesome. Tomorrow night, ATL, 6:30, raffle as always. Come on out, everyone.
And it's your opportunity to join Surfrider and Bay Keeper and all those things in person. So, you know.
Yes. And I should mention it's a chance to join Coastal Cleanup Day, which is coming up in September, third weekend of September. So
and we
you can sign up as a site captain tomorrow
yeah.
night.
And we talked about that last week on Coastal Currents. Thanks for hooking us
yes.
up with that. That was a fun interview.
Yeah, for sure.
Do we have anything else going on that we need to talk about?
There is one more thing I wanted to mention really quick, and that is that August 15th is the deadline to submit public comments to help preserve our marine sanctuaries off the coast of California. I think we talked about this a little while ago, but there's a executive order calling for review of a portion of the sanctuaries, basically trying to get the waters open to oil drilling and take away some of those restrictions that we have placed on our precious marine waters. So a great way to help with that is to go to the Monterey Bay Aquarium's website, and there's like comments ready to go that will help you submit a comment, or the Surfrider website has a lot of information as well. So it's the last push, August 15th, get your comments in by then.
Alrighty, I will try to get us a link to that and put it up with our posting of Coastal Currents. Chris, thank you so very much for joining us today. We're excited about what you've got going on, and as you develop new products, I hope you will be in touch with us and let us know what you got cooking.
Absolutely, thank you.
My pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much, Chris. Be in touch.
And thank you both. I've got a milk tanker truck backing up right in front of the window, so I'm sorry about the noise. Thus is life in Ferndale. Delia, have a safe trip all the rest of your way home, and hopefully everybody will turn out and welcome you home at Ocean Night. And thank you both so much.
This has been a KHUM production. For more information, check out khum.com or search KHUM in iTunes.